Blog Talk Radio.
You're now in tune into the Eagles in Flight album with Apostle Marcus Dupree and Prophet Selena Dupree. Apostle Marcus Dupree is an apostle on a mission. Teaches the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, commissioning leaders, and empowering with an apostolic release. Prophet Selena Dupree is a prophetic intercessor. Birthing out sons and daughters is the prophetic. Eagle Wings International Ministry is located at Midland, South Carolina. They're teaching God's servants how to become leaders, always to edify and enhance a relationship with God. Also founders of Eagles and Flight Fellowship. You can write this ministry at P.O. Box 2185, Richland, South Carolina, 29936. Their phone number is 843-271-1006. And now, you are tuned into the Eagles in Flight Hour. Eagles, loud up, and Eagles, take flight.
Eagles in Flight Hour with Apostle Marcus Dupree and Prophet Selena Dupree.
We can have, we can talk to a bunch of people, but really when it comes down to, we need to talk to the Lord. We need to get to know Him, develop and cultivate our relationship with Him. Amen, amen. Welcome to Eagles in Flight Hour. Glory to God. We have my Apostle Marcus Dupree and also with Prophet Selena Dupree here in Action Radio.
Amen, right? Amen.
Amen. Well, glory to God. We just let's begin with this word of prayer. Father, we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, for an awesome night tonight. We thank you for your presence. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place. Thank you for what we're about to encounter in you, Lord God, as we go into this place in you. We thank you for your word, even for this discovery, this hour. Lord, we get to unfold the mysteries of your gospel unto us, Lord, as we break the bread of life. We thank you for us receiving life, Lord God. We thank you as we distribute life to your people tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, thank you for your presence and your glory. Thank you in all honor and glory that belongs unto you, Lord, and we withhold nothing. Lord God, I thank you for your presence and your anointing being released through this line right now. Let your spirit of peace rest and abide upon your people now, henceforth, and forever. And Father, we thank you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. We thank God for just having this opportunity to come before you. And we want to just make a first announcement, the call number in for those who may need to call in. Number 347-945-5416. And hit number 1 and you put you in the queue box. Amen. So we just thank God for this opportunity to come before you tonight. Amen. So as we begin to get into words tonight, we want to turn with us. Let's go to Mark chapter 8, verse 34. Amen. We thank God for what he's about to do. Mark chapter 8, verse 34, starts off reading as, "And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake in the Gospels, the same shall save it." Amen. All right. And we want to ask you also to turn to Acts chapter 19. And we're going to go to verse 13. "There's then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of Sceva, of one Sceva, a Jew, a chief of priests, which did so. The evil spirit answered and said, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But who are you? And we're going to stop there. Tonight we want to talk to you about the call to relationship. The call to relationship. As we see in Mark chapter 8, verse 34, he says, and when he had called the people unto him and his disciples also. Looking at that one part there, he's drawing us in this time, this hour, drawing us to a closer walk with him. Those who know him, he wants to get to know him even better, get closer. And those who don't know him, amen, he wants you to know him. It's very easy to be religious. You know, you can have all the outside, outer-looking parts of, you know, being saved. You can have the nice suit, nice dress, nice hat, and you can have all the little pieces that make you look so, holy, you know, look righteous. But then if the outer appearance may look one way, but truly the heart is in another place. And this is the time and season in our life right now with all this going on that we have to know the Lord for real. You know, faking it till you make it is not going to work for you now. You must know him for real. The time and hour has come. A relationship. What is a relationship? It's the way in which two or more people, groups, countries, talk to, behave toward, or deal with each other. A romantic or sexual friendship between two people. The way in which two or more people or things are connected. It's the state of being related, interrelated. The relation, connection, or binding participants in a relationship as kinship. Specific instance or type of kinship. I like the first couple. It says that in the way two or more people, groups, countries talk to, behave toward, or deal with each other. The way in which two or more people or things are connected. What Jesus did for us, he became our mediator, the one who connected the heart of men back to the heart of God. The ministry of reconciliation, this is what we have when we go out and preach the gospel, have the fire, the burn to win souls for the Lord. And we're actually creating, connecting relationships between people, man who's disconnected from God, and connecting them by introducing Jesus to them, the mediator, connecting them back to God once again. Bring it back, which was supposed to be perfect from the very beginning. As we're going to come back to that spot, we just want to highlight, go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. Relationship was there from the beginning. It wasn't something that started in the 20th century. But here in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 says, this is after the fall. And they, you know, hid themselves with fig leaves and everything. Verse 8 says, and they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden, cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called to Adam and said, where art thou? And he said, I have heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, but I was naked and hid myself. So here we see where it was a daily activity for God to come spend time with his creation, Adam. And, you know, and Adam and Eve, you know, it was a everyday thing. As we, because of what happened in the garden, that we were disconnected, but because of Jesus, we were connected again. And so this is where relationship comes in. Relationship is very important. You know, without a relationship, there is no relating to God. We cannot relate to a God that we have no relationship with. And so we have the word relate, and then we also have ship, you know, relationship. So, you know, it is obviously there's a relation that's going somewhere. It's a progressive relationship. It's not just a one-time contact and that's it. See, some people will come to the altar that day and give their life to the Lord, but some may stop right there to go no further. That's not exactly a relationship. There was a connection made, but it didn't maintain. The connection could have gotten lost in the process of time. But this is why with the relationship, we need to have that time relationship. Just before, let's mention one more time, that number to call is 347-945-5416.
Praise God. The relationship with the Father is so important because for so many years, people have been used to hearing about the God of their grandmother and the God of their father or the God of their auntie or the God of their mother. In relationship, you do not have to refer to the Lord as the God of someone else. He's your God, and you have a relationship with him, and so therefore you have a one-on-one. You have a connection with him. Your speech about God becomes personal because you understand who he is because you have been having relationships with him. You've been communicating with him. You've been spending time with him. You've been getting to know him just like in a natural relationship. When you're in a relationship with someone, it is not something you think of as far off, as far away. It's something that you think of as close. It's something that you think of as someone that you can touch, someone that you can see. That's why a lot of times when people in the natural have long-distance relationships, they tend to not work as well because in long-distance relationships, it's harder because the connection is further away. Okay, so this relationship with the Father is really important because it's the only way we can understand really who God is to us, what he really means to us, and how we are really to the Father.
Okay, we think we have a caller on the line. Would like to say something. Go ahead. We have a caller. Go ahead. Okay, we have a caller. Amen. You can go ahead and come on in, the caller. Hello, we have a caller.
Didn't have anything to say.
Oh, okay. Okay, you don't have anything to say at the moment. Well, just say hello. God bless you. Okay. Well, if you have any questions, then we definitely come on back and we will be glad to answer. Okay?
Am I live?
Yes, you're live right now. Amen.
Oh, okay. No.
Yes, and so if you rematch one, as you see, if you have a question or you have a comment you would like to say, anything like that. So that's probably what happened. So no problem. But if there's any, just, you know, feel free again, just hit the one button again if you need to. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. So once again, we want to give Prophet, go ahead and tell us. What, okay, amen. So once again, so when we see him talking about relationships tonight, with culture relationship, and this is very important for us to keep in mind because God wants us to we would be with him and be connected. And it's very important this time and hour what's going on today for us to be connected with God for real. See, you might can't get to the phone to call your pastor. You might can't get to the phone to call mom or dad or sister or brother. You might can't call your prayer partner. But we can call on Jesus, and he will answer. And with that relationship with him, you know, we can get an answer wherever we are, whenever we need one, you know. So that helps us put us in a place of hearing from God, amen, with that connection. Is very important. Once again, the way we relate to our God. And so we see here how without really, you know, people, many times people searching People are looking for power. They want power. This power, that, you know, and they often go to God looking for, God, give me some more power. Give me some more power. Well, we asking, really, when we look at it, we're asking the wrong thing. We need to go to him and get to know him. And through relationship comes the power. See, without relationship, there is no authority there. You know, that authority comes as we walk with him. And as we walk with him, we spend time with him and cultivate our walk with him, and begin, the more he can trust us. So it's not the fact that we can trust him. We know we can trust God. God's going to come through. But can he trust us with his authority and the power? How much at one particular time? If you can't handle whenever something good happens, giving glory to God, then that lets him know right then, you know, you might be one who will try to steal this glory, you know, and that's the worst thing we ever can do, to take God's glory. So, amen, we want to remind you to call number once again, 347-945-5416. And if you have a question or you need to make a comment, put master number one and you put you in the cue box. Glory to God. So, but once again, that's why we need relationship. Without relationship, there's no power. There's no release of power on our behalf. So God wants us to make sure that we are good stewards over that. You know, because sometimes we ask for stuff that can actually destroy us or someone else. So God is mindful of that, to know he needs to make sure that we can handle whatever he's given to us. Amen.
I mean, that's just like a natural child. You know, there's some, we have extended families and ready-made families sometimes where a child's biological parent is somewhere else. Well, a lot of times it's a difficult thing for that biological parent to get a solid relationship with that child because they don't live with them. But even when they do have a relationship with the child that's not living with them, it doesn't feel good that the only time that child tries to make a connection is when they want something, when they, you know, need money, when they want you to pay for something, when it's Christmas time, when it's birthday, when it's time to go on a trip, or only when they want something, whether it's money or whatever, not just, hey, Dad or Mom, I want to spend time with you. What it makes that parent feel, that the non-custodial parent feel, like I'm just someone for you to get things out of, but you really don't want to have a true relationship with me. Because in a relationship with a parent, whether I'm buying you something or giving you something, I just want to be with you because you're my mom. I just want to be with you just because you're my dad. I just want to spend time with you. I just want to get to know you better. And so just imagine if we have those feelings and those senses like that in the natural, it's even more so the same way in the spirit. You know, God doesn't want us to just spend time with him when we're in need of something, when we want something from him, or when we want to utilize the power and the anointing of God. Now we can find time to just talk to the Lord. He wants to have that relationship with us no matter what, whether we want something, whether we need something, whether we want to use the giftings of, you know, that he has given us. He just wants to spend time with us, and with relationship, that happens only on a consistent basis. You just spending that time with the Lord on a consistent basis because he's your father, because he's God Almighty, because you love him, because he's faithful and just God, because he saved your life, because he's your all in all and everything, because he's your lifeline, and without him we would just live, we would just exist, we would not be living. We'd just be an empty shell just existing. We would really not have the opportunity to live a full life without God in our lives. And as we do that wholeheartedly with good intention, then those giftings and the power and the anointing that just comes because we are his children, it just comes automatically. And it also leaves a non-guilty feeling on our part. Because, see, the enemy can trick you to use someone to just get things out of it. But then when it's all said and done, you also have that residue of guilt that you have because you know you've obtained something of someone in the wrong way. You haven't really gotten it because you worked hard or you spent time and it was just because of love. It's because you manipulated or tricked or done something to gain it. And so the same thing with God. It's like you don't feel bad afterwards, like, you know, praise God, I got this thing, but, it, you know, I only prayed a couple days and that's why I got it. It's not because I'm in a relationship with the Lord and he just loves me and he just takes care of me because we have a relationship. So it, the enemy can sometimes persuade us to do things because he knows in the end you may have gotten the prize, but then there's that residue of condemnation that the enemy will attach to it when we don't do things the right way.
Amen. Amen. In the Bible, we notice there's a lot of accounts where that word no, you see where Genesis chapter 3, verse 7 says, where it talks about God, we're talking about Adam knowing Eve and conceiving a son. That word means intimacy, to know. And when we know the Lord, that means that we have spent time with the Lord, we spent time in his presence, and we're still spending time. It's not like one time and that's it, but it's a consistent, he said that Hebrews 11:6 tells us, without faith it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. It's not just one time seeking God and that's it, back out. No, but we're supposed to spend time with him continuously. And you know, to where when, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning is the time you and God get together, then God knows at 5 o'clock you're going to be there because he's going to be there. Amen. And you spend that time consistently. Even we see Daniel, when even after he knew the decree was signed, even after he knew it was signed, he went back to his room, as he normally would do, with his window up. He went before the Lord, prayed 3 times a day like he normally would do after the decree for stopping anyone from praying to any God. He knew this, and he went ahead and still did what he normally would do. Why? Not because he's religious, because he has a relationship. And relationship is alive. It's living. It's like a living sacrifice. Daily, you do this thing. And, it's, you know, you consistently do it. When you don't do it, you can tell the difference. See, when you do something religiously, it's like you can almost skip a beat. It just has no power to it. It has no meaning. You know, not something no meaning, but it's not so tangible. But when you talk about having a relationship, it's alive, it's functioning. It's, you know, when you don't spend time, you know it. When you spend time, you know it. I mean, it's alive. And this is what God wants us to do, be excited about spending time with him. If this is the case, he would have made Adam and Eve out of a robot. But he wanted to have a relationship. He wanted you to have a desire to be with him. He wanted you to have a desire to spend time with him. He wanted you to have a desire. So, you know what? Man, I haven't been in the presence of the Lord today. I need to get in the presence of the Lord. No matter what comes on in your life, you will not let that thing change what you normally would do. He wants you to be so secure, so locked into him, that no matter what challenge or changes may come, that he knows that you are going to be consistent in your walk with him. And that goes beyond just having a form of godliness. You know, you may know how to lingo, you may know how to walk like, look like one, but then when it comes down to it, is it really? See, we can fool man, but we can never fool God. God knows exactly where we are. Glory to God. And once again, that number to call in is 347-945-5416. And if you have a question, or you can hit the cue button, hit 1 and hit the cue button, or you'll be in the cue box. Glory to God. Amen. So as we go a little further, I want to look at, let's look at Acts chapter 19, verse 15. And this is an example of not having a relationship, but trying to illegally operate in one. Okay, once again, there were certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them that which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preached about, or we cast you up by the Paul, the, by whom Jesus Paul speak about. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, a chief of the priests, which did so. The evil spirit answered. He heard them, and he answered and said, Jesus, I know. I know how Jesus looked operating in fields. I know. Paul, I know. He operates a lot like Jesus. I know him. But who are you? See, with those demonic forces realize, they realize that they recognize their relationship. See, with the relationship, once again, comes the authority. And with that, see, they were trying to operate an authority that they had no right to because they weren't no true relationship there. You can't, you try to, when he was trying, they was trying to work, and trying to work this thing out by a third person. It's walking in the power of Christ, you cannot be attained by walking in the third person. It has to be one-on-one to a you and him. You know, and the Holy Spirit, you have to be that direct connection in order for you to have the full results, the full opportunity to walk in that power. So they tried to operate legally, and this is what happened. The man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overcame them, prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. They were hurt. Because they were rejected by the devil, basically. Don't you try to, you know, it was almost like him saying, don't you try to come to me like that. You know you don't know him. And you try to operate and try to cast me out. You have no power to do that. There's no relationship there. Without even saying, but the fact of the matter is, without relationship, there's no power. There's no authority. And this only comes from spending time with the Lord, developing, cultivating your relationship. A farmer can't really plant seed under the ground until that ground is cultivated, chopped up. You know, get that ground, yes, you get the ground ready. And when you have a relationship with God, your heart is ready, your heart is tender, your heart is ready to hear his voice, ready to move as he says. He doesn't have to beat you up all day long and get your attention, but you hear him. He's right there. And the other thing is obedience. You must walk after you hear the word of the Lord. You must walk in it from that point. So your obedience will come with that as well.
You know, this is really important because what happens is when we are not fully equipped to do the work of the ministry, we can't do the job that we've been called to do. And when you don't have that power because of a lack of relationship, you become useless to the body of Christ. You're useless, yes. And it's not that you don't have the tools. It's not that you don't have what you need to do the job. It's that you're not utilizing that which God has already given you. And you can't utilize what God has given you if you don't have relationship. It's like getting a piece of furniture in the mail with no instructions. You have no idea how to put this thing together. You have everything you need. I mean, they put tools in the box. They put all the right screws. They put all the right pieces. You have this thing. And all you need to do is put this thing together in order for whatever you need it for to be able to function, for you to function properly with this object. But you can't because the instructions are not in the box. And so now the purpose of this thing cannot be fulfilled because it cannot be built the way it's supposed to be built because there's no instruction manual on how it's to be used. So that's how we are without relationship. Everything that God has called you to be and do is within you. When you said, I give my life to Christ, I will live, I'm sold out to you, God, I will live for you, I'll live for you, I'll die. When we make all those declarations to the Father because we are ready to live the life that he's called us to live, and you fail, everything is in you, every anointing, every gifting, everything that God could possibly put in you to become what he's called you to become. Each of us have a different path in this walk because of the call that's upon our life. And you fail to have a relationship with the Father. It's just like that box without instruction manual. You can't hear clearly. You don't know where to go. You don't know what to do. There's no relationship to get the to get what you need, to get the instructions. There's no relationship to tell you this is the way to go today. There's no relationship to tell you move left, move right. There's no relationship to tell you lay hands here. There's no relationship to tell you minister to this sister, take groceries to that brother. There's no relationship there. There's a faulty thing going on in the connection. And so you're useless because now the purpose that you were created for cannot be fulfilled because you can't hear because you have no relationship. So in order for us to really fulfill the purpose of our what we're called to do and to fulfill the duties that God has called us for in this walk, in the kingdom, in the body of Christ, we have to have a relationship so that we are able to get clear instructions from the Lord on what we're supposed to be doing.
Yes. Amen. I want to let's scroll back in the same chapter, verse 11 and 12. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and disease departed from them, and evil spirits went out of them. There's no way this could have been done without relationship. To be at a place where that the very sweat, everything, even the hands just being touched, to touch your body, and all of a sudden power is released upon these handkerchiefs or cloths that's able to go cast out spirits. I mean, that's power. That's some serious power. But it comes from knowing him. We must know him. We can't allow the enemy to make us think that, you know, once we just get saved, that's it, just stop there. We need to go progress on to perfection. We need to move on to the greater things. We can't stop there. We have to realize that everything that God has for us, everything that God created, had a seed within it. That means everything God made was made to progress, made to move, reproduce after his own kind. So even for you to be coming to the knowledge of Christ, it was never just meant for you just to stay at one place. No, it was meant for you to progress on and also bring others into the kingdom as well, and also develop in your relationship, your walk with God, so you can hear his voice. There's no reason why we can't. We have Bibles. We have digital books. We have computers. We have Bibles of different sites, different apps. There's so many different ways now today for us to get the word of God and not to grow. And why is it, and this makes you wonder, why is it that many years ago, the old generals, they had less, but they seemed to walk in more power of God, more power then than we see now. It was relationship. They didn't have Bibles, you know, or the 11 didn't have the Bibles like how we have today. Different cross references, different references, different translations, everything. Everything to make it easier for you. They didn't have that. They had just simple, what they had was either the Bible or the Ten Commandments. They had just a simple thing, just the very basic. But then yet they walk in power and demonstration. Why? Because of relationship. And this is where we have to get back to today. We have to get past, you know, it's not impressive to be able to quote the whole Bible. And then that's great. If you do that, it's fine. That works for you. But without relationship, what good is it? There's a lot of people who look at, read the Bible and say, it's a good book. But without relationship, it does not come alive. Then you begin to see the flesh. Then you begin to see Jesus dwell again in the flesh among us. You begin to see where the Word of God becomes alive to you. You begin to experience the Word of God. And in everything you begin to read, you're just seeing it come to pass. You're living it. You pray for someone, and you see the power of God be released in your life, in their life. You see, you know, the anointing will come upon you. It changes the whole story. It doesn't come by just word, but it comes from also a demonstration of power. And see, when we talk about demonstration of power, once again, it's not our power. It's God's power. And that's why we have to make sure our heart is pure. With relationship with God keeps that heart pure. keeps your motives right, because you understand it's not about you, it's not about me, but it's all about God, his kingdom going forth through you. Once again, I want to remind you that the number to call, 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416. And if you have any questions, just smash 1 through the queue. And amen, put you in the queue box. But once again, knowing who Christ is, you have to know him. What is new? What you knew is past tense of know. You know, and when we understand, when we know him, There's a relationship. There's an experience with him. There's there's a communication there, and a relationship is not a monologue. Let me say that a relationship with God is not a monologue, but it's a dialogue, to where you communicate your heart to him, and you give him chance back to communicate with you. That, of course, that's through prayer, but you also give time to listen. We have to, because we just go, just dump our load on God and just come and just, you know, hey, God, this one feel like, okay, P.S., love you, bye, I'm gone. God had not one chance to give to say anything to you like he loved you back, just share his heart with you. And many times God wants to share his heart with us, but do we really give him the time to do it? And this is where there's a tragedy, because even though you may bring a problem to God, but you waited, you did not wait to get a solution. And so now we end up going in life not ready, half-baked. And when things and problems consume us, now we're stressing out and we wonder what's going on. God, where art thou? God was like, well, I'm right here, but if you would give me a chance to speak to you, if you just put everything down, shut everything down, shut the TV down, shut the radio down, shut every voice down, put the phone down, put Facebook down, everything down, and let me speak to you, you'll be surprised how fast you can work this problem out. But sometimes it's in shutting everything down is where we get stuck, because we still want to have everything going on and have our cake and eat it too. Sometimes God says, no, I want you to make a choice. Am I more important than this, or everything else is more important than me? So this relationship is alive. Amen.
You know, and it's really it's funny, because I know sometimes we have people in our lives that they'll get in a conversation with us and they're just going on and on. They're asking you questions and answering the question before you can answer it. And in about 10 minutes, they came to you with a problem, wanted your advice, and in the 10 minutes that they talked, they worked it out themselves by talking it out to you, and you just stood there and didn't say anything. And that's how we sound to God. We're just rambling and rambling and rambling and just talking and not letting God say anything to us about anything. And what ends up happening in the end, we basically worked it out ourselves and walked away and say, okay, I got it. Oh, why didn't I think of that before? You know, we joke about that's how psychologists make their money, or psychiatrists make their money. You lay on the couch to tell them your problems, and you work out the solution by talking it out yourself. They jot some things down on the pad, and you just spend $150 in an hour, and you worked it out yourself. And a lot of times that's what we do when we're in communication with the Lord. You know, in our relationship with him, it needs to be understood that God has the solution to our situation. And if we can work it out ourselves, what's the point of going to God? Yes. And the only way you can hear him giving you a answer to your solution is so you spend some time being quiet. Sometimes we just talk too much. Yes. We just go on and on too much about nothing. Because in the end, the solution that God has given us, it doesn't matter with what we had to say. You know, his word and what he has for us is true and is always right, and it's the best thing for us. We think sometimes that we have the best solution, but God has the best thing for us, because, see, he sees today, he saw yesterday, and he sees tomorrow. And where we can't see, his solution is going to cover all those areas we don't see, and that's why when the Lord gives us stuff, a lot of times we don't understand, because it doesn't match what we think is going to happen later. And then when we get to the situation and it works out, oh, that's why the Lord had me do it this way. It makes sense now.
Yes.
But in order for us to get all of that, we have to learn that in relationship, there are times that you need to just be silent and hear from heaven. You know, I would never want to be in a relationship with a guy that all he does is all the talking. I never can get a word in edgewise.
Oh, boy.
You know, it's like, man, can you just be quiet? Can I talk a little bit? Can I say something? You know, it's like it's imbalance.
Amen.
It's imbalance in all you do. And every time you see that person, what ends up happening is you don't get a joyfulness about seeing that person. You get a drudging thing about seeing that person. Oh, boy, here we go again. Yeah, we're going out to eat, but all she's going to do is talk the whole time. All he's going to do is talk the whole time. You don't feel like, man, I got to go, fellas. I'm going with my girl. We're going to hang out because you know you're going to have a good time. It's a chore. Don't ever let God feel like in this relationship with you, it's a chore. Because all you're going to do is ask for stuff, beg for stuff. He is never going to get to say anything. He's never going to give you any guidance. He's never going to give you any instruction. He can't help make your life better because all you do is complain. You're not really in a true relationship, a healthy spiritual relationship with the Father. It's really detrimental. It really is, because what happens is you take all your advice and everything you got to say and you plug it in and you say the Lord said and the Lord didn't say any of that. And then when the results are bad, you're disappointed, you're hurt, you're frustrated because, quote, unquote, God is leading you and it doesn't seem like things are working out, when in actuality you've been leading yourself all this time without the guidance of the Holy Spirit at all, because you are not including and allowing the Lord to be Lord in your life, to be the head in your life, because you're doing everything and you're not keeping a good spiritually healthy relationship with the Father.
Amen. That is so important. That is very much key, because we have to understand that in order for us to see results, we have to, you know, to be honest, walking this walk with God, it's going to cost you something, though. It's nothing cheap. It's going to cost you something. And let's look at Mark chapter 8 once again, and let's go a little further into this thing. Amen. But it's going to cost you something, but it's well worth the price.
Yes, I mean, that's just like jewels. Ladies, we know about jewelry. It costs good, nice, good, real jewelry costs some money, but it lasts a lifetime. Jewelry lasts so long and holds its value so good until there are some jewels, some diamonds, some things that are in families from generation to generation. They pass rings on from one generation to the next, and it doesn't lose its value. It gains value from one generation to the next. So it's okay if it costs you, because in the long run, it's going to be worth it.
Yes, it is. And that's, but you know what, it's like a marriage. And it's like a marriage. And it's just like how, you know, when you have a relationship with your spouse, you know, it's very easy when you go, you know, you be together the first year or two, you can, you know, that's why if once they say for marriage to make it past the third year, that's when, you know, you're really starting to go forward then. Because those first 3 years are those foundational years, those test years, those years, and okay, you're all trying to mesh together, get on the same page, and you're learning the one who you're with now. And so once you begin to hit this journey together, and this now as you begin to grow together, you begin to understand what each other likes, what you don't like. And that's how it is. And now when you've gone through some storms together as husband and wife, you find these are those moments when those were those hard, testy moments. And see, when you learn how to stand together, first of all, when you understand just like this relationship, this person is on your side. They're not against you. Same way with God. God is with us. He's not against us. Okay? He said, I will be with you in the storm and the rain. I will be with you in those times when, you know, when you're going through your testing and your trials, I'll be with you. Well, even like Hebrew boys, he was in the midst of the fire first with them. And when you, with the spouse, when you stand together, when you realize, you know, we're in this thing together, we're working as one, you're not moved by what you're going through because you understand, guess what, you're not alone. And you can stand in this thing together, and it causes you to go to a different height in even your trust and your relationship with one another. And these are the things that give you, now, for a man, let me say like this, because I know my wife is with me and she's standing with me, through my, even my darkest time, even when I don't feel like a man of God, or I may not feel at my best, you know. I may have a day where I'm like, Lord Jesus, I need you to help. You know, she may come just rub her hand on my back. That might be all she needs to do to keep me encouraged. But see, in those times, like, those are the things that bring a value of a relationship up to another level. That's why it's more priceless than rubies. The more the more the value of that relationship increases, the more powerful it becomes.
Amen.
Ooh,
amen.
The Holy Ghost on that one. My
amen.
God. But glory to God. But amen. But see, that is why when you have this relationship, it's priceless. Money, when you look, it causes you to look at sin in a totally different way. Because it's not worth the severing of what you have because it's so good. Because you know what? You know there's no sin that could ever match to the goodness that a good relationship can bring to you. Even with the spouse and husband and wife, you know, because I know what my wife can do for me and how she is for me, and look, it goes even beyond the bedroom. See, there's some
That's
people
right.
get stuck
That's
on
right.
the bedroom
mm-hmm.
action, but beyond that, when you talk about having a true relationship with God, it's, oh my God, it is so deep, it goes beyond that. And when, you know, when those even, because see, after the bedroom is finished, what you got after that?
That's right. That's
we
right.
can't hold a 5-minute conversation because we know there's nothing in common that we can't. There's no true relate, no relation there, and so therefore we have no relationship. We just had a physical thing that just lasts for a moment, but after that is over, there's nothing. There's no substance to this relationship, and therefore we have nothing. And with the next little thing that comes along, somebody else going astray. But when you understand what you have in your relationship, it brings an added weight and value to it that you will not be so easy to cast it away or let anything sever the tie that you may have. But that's
right.
relationship.
That's right. That's
Amen.
Right. Amen. Amen.
Yeah, that call number once again is 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416, and you can put dial on the number 1 and it'll push you for any questions answered. Amen.
Amen. Apostle, you just said a mouthful. That was, gosh, that was awesome. I just got blessed for a second myself. Amen. Amen. Yeah, and it's so good to compare it to a marriage because in marriages, you're together. If you're in a committed relationship with your spouse, you're together no matter what happens. I mean, you learn how to just how to not take things so seriously. I mean, oh, my gosh, you could just take something that's simple as you didn't put the top back on the toothpaste, and you could take that and just destroy your household over something so simple like that.
Yes.
But in relationship, you understand the in-depthness of what is important. What's really important, you make sure that is at the forefront. And it's the same thing with the Lord. There are things that are just, it's vital for you to have that strong relationship with the Father so that nothing, it doesn't matter what comes your way, you count up the cost.
Yes.
You count up the cost
when
tries to present itself to you. It took you, you had to fast, you had to pray, you had to be on your knees, you missed sleep to build that relationship with the Father, and then you're going to allow sin to come in and just destroy it like that. It takes a lot for you to go back and be out there in the world. And that's how come you know when people are in a backslidden state, when they're not, you know, they're easily in and out of the church, one foot in the church, then next week they're no longer talking about the Lord, and next week they're on fire for God, and the next week after that they're clubbing. You know that it's because of a glitch in relationship. And sometimes it is a reflection of their natural life. If you have somebody spiritually in and out like that, they probably spend a lot of time in and out of a lot of relationships too in the natural. So it's not that easy when you work that hard to get yourself to have a solid foundation with the Father. It is not that easy to pull you out. It really isn't. It takes a lot because you are looking at the separation that's going to hurt you so badly. You know, Jesus had to die for our sins because he chose to do that. But it was a hard thing. I read the scripture about that the other day, and it was talking about when he went and took Peter and some guys, a couple other guys with him to go pray just before he was crucified. He went back and forth, I think, three times. Lord, is there any way that we could not do this? He was not just thinking about the physical pain that he was going to have to endure, but he had counted up the cost. Jesus knew what it was like to be tied to the Father, and he knew that when that happened, he would also, to take on our sin, meant that he would have to have separation from the Father. And you're talking about somebody from the time existed, was connected to the Father, and now something like this, him taking on something that he didn't even do, he was going to have to be held accountable for it and watch the Father turn his back on him, because now he is considered sin, and God cannot be in the presence of sin. And so the Father had to turn his back on Jesus, and Jesus knew what the process was going to be. He knew what was going to happen, and he did not want to go through that experience of being separated from his Father, even knowing that it was temporary. Jesus knew that he was going to be raised from the dead. He knew that he was going to take the keys back from the enemy. He knew that he would return back to his Father. He knew that he was going to be seated at the right hand of the Father. He knew that. He knew that all of this, his dying for us, was going to correct a situation, and he would return to where he was supposed to be in glory. He knew that, but even knowing that, still, he did not want to experience the separation that he was going to experience from the Father because of a sin that he did not even commit. He still didn't want to experience it.
My God.
Because of relationship, because of how close him and the Father was. He didn't want to be severed. He didn't want to be severed away from the Father in that manner. And so it's the same thing here now. When you have that relationship with the Father like that, sin doesn't just come in and out easily like that. It doesn't just happen, you know, back and forth, day I'll sin, tomorrow I won't, today. You don't contemplate in your mind about sin like that when you have a relationship, real solid relationship with the Father. You don't, because you know what it means. It means separation. You know it means tearing away. You know it means that you're not going to be connected to the Father. And who wants to not be connected to their lifeline? That's like asking somebody on life support whether they want to breathe today or not. Of course I want to breathe.
Amen.
Of course I want to breathe. If this is what's keeping me alive, and so when you understand the in-depthness of relationship, when you get that strong relationship and you have it, you hold on to it. You hold on to it through everything. You hold on to it.
Hallelujah. I remember when I was first coming up, and during this time, I know, and I like the first came to Christ, they had the Spirit of David, the CD by Fred Hammond was out. And, I felt so much like David because it wasn't a lot of people my age who were saved during that time. And I was going through some different trials and tribulations, and I just had lost my license, and some different things happened, and I had to catch rides, places there, here and there, and I had to go to school. I was going to barber school, and I had to catch a ride. I was going through a whole bunch of stuff, but I did a lot of walking, and I was alone a lot. But, in those times, I thank God for the relationship. And those were some of the richest times, because in that time, because there was nothing else that I could lean my hand on. And I couldn't call on everybody because no one was there like that. But I knew because of my relationship with Jesus, I loved God too much to quit during those times. Even though I felt like I was alone, even though I felt like, God, how much longer I'm going to keep going through this? But an effective relationship with God brings hope. Our effective relationship with God gives you stability.
Yes, it causes
you to stay sane when you want to be insane. Matter of fact, you want to act insane because you just want to let it all go. But that relationship with him, because he loves you and you love him back, you love him enough to trust him even when you can't see further down the road, even when you don't know which way your help is coming, even when you don't know if your help is coming, but you know he's with you.
Amen.
He
Amen.
Said, I'll be with you to the end. And that yes. is the thing that the most important thing, my God, knowing God will never leave you nor forsake you. See, Buddha couldn't do it. Muhammad couldn't do it. Nothing else could do it. When
That's
you see
right.
those other
That's
guys,
right.
they were talking to those guys, they would get no answer back unless it's a familiar spirit. But when we talk to God, God speaks through his son, Jesus. And when you, there's nothing like, see, one word from God can not
yes.
only save your life.
Yes.
I mean, not only can change your life, but it also can save it. How many times when you was driving your car and you was going one way, you used to go this one way, you used to go over the bridge every day. But all of a sudden the Holy Spirit said, and some of y'all, how y'all said, some told me, no, it was the Holy Spirit who told you, make a left turn, go this way. Well, this is not my usual way, but I'll go. And come to find out a few minutes down the road, and you take a little detour, go a different way, come to find out down the road, there was an accident that was waiting to happen around the same time you would have been coming through. By the grace
Jesus.
Of God, because of the relationship with God, you were saved from tragedy. See, your relationship with God is priceless. And yes, it is life and death, because without a relationship with God, you don't know what you will walk into.
That's right. Amen.
Glory
Amen.
To God. So I thank God for a relationship with him, because even through my relationship, I'm knowing him, and he knows me. And because he knows, look, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. How can your steps be ordered if there's no connection?
All right.
It cannot. It can't. There's no, without no connection. How can you relate? How can you speak? How can he speak to you? How can you hear his voice without a connection? You may be going through a cloudy time right now. Well, you may need to get on your knees and repent for some things that you haven't repented for yet. Maybe it's some sin or some Latin stuff that's kind of clouding up your line right now. Glory to God.
You know, and the Bible tells us also that we should acknowledge him in all our ways, and he'll direct our path. And when you think about that scripture, I believe it's in Proverbs, if I'm not mistaken, acknowledge him in all your ways. Proverbs 3:5, if we acknowledge him in all our ways, he should direct our path. If you think about what that scripture is actually saying, that is you constantly
yes.
in communication with God. Basically, you are constantly in communication with God. You are whispering to him. You are talking to him. You are praying. And the Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. That's always. You can be praying to the Father all the time. Listening in, tuning in. God has always given us direction, but are we tuned in to hear what thus says the Lord? Anything that you do, every move that you make, Lord, what about this? Father, what do you think about this? I mean, it's like having a best friend connected to your hip wherever you go. Every time you make a move, Father, what do you think? How do you, what is this? Should I make this move? Is this wise to do? Is this something that I need to do right now? What, Father, what should I do? You know, you're just constantly communicating with the Lord, and it says when we acknowledge him in everything that we do, in all our ways, from the time we rise up, from the time we get up until the time we lay our heads down, he is going to direct our path. He will give us instruction. It's just that scripture is basically putting the keys in your hand.
Yes.
It's putting the keys in your hand to decide whether or not you want the Lord to be involved in your life. Or do you want the Father to be involved in your life? If you ask him, if you want to get his ideas about what to do, if you need him to give you direction in this area, you just talk to the Lord about it. And he will direct your path. It doesn't say he might give you instruction. It doesn't say, well, he'll think about it and ponder on it. It says if you acknowledge him in all your ways, He shall direct your path. He's not going to hold back on us. There is no good thing that the Father will withhold from us. And so if it is something that we need to know, if it's something that we need to understand, he's going to make sure that we know it as long as we're looking to him for the answer. We can't look to everybody else for an answer from the Lord.
Come on.
And we do that a lot of times. We will pick up the phone and call our girlfriend and say, what do you think about this? And we will not ask the Lord about
it. My God.
Now, when the thing falls apart and ends up in a shambles, then we'll say, okay, Lord, what should I do? You know, and in actuality, if we had talked to the Lord from the beginning, it wouldn't never fall apart, because he would have told you that wasn't going to work before you even implemented that plan.
Jesus.
But instead, we'll go to everyone else. We'll call our mom, ladies. We'll call our sister. We'll call our best friend. We'll call our neighbor, because she used to do this. She would know. And we would not acknowledge the Lord. Men, we'll call our homeboy. We'll call some of you have good relationships with your father. You'll call your dad. You'll call your brother. You'll call your cousin on the east side, because he always did this. I know my boy. He know what he's doing. But we will not acknowledge the father. And when we don't acknowledge the father and we get advice from everyone else, and don't get me wrong, the Bible tells us that we should have wise counsel. But wise counsel should not override, replace, or be instead of counsel from God.
Oh, my God.
Wise counsel should never override, be in place, or instead of counsel from God
first. Oh, my God.
We get counsel from the Holy Spirit first. And then if we're not so sure about what we're hearing, or we just want to make sure that we're hearing from heaven, yeah, I can see you saying, okay, now, and make sure you're not excluding what the Lord said. And you're going maybe to your pastor or your leadership, and you're saying, this is what I really believe that I'm hearing. And if you have a man or woman of God that's truly of God, they're going to let you know, yeah, that sounds like God. That sounds something like what the Lord would be telling you. It lines up with the Lord, with the Word of God. But, you know, let's not put everybody's opinion and their ideas ahead of the counsel of the Holy Spirit that's on inside of us.
That's good. That's
good. We really shouldn't.
Amen. And that number to call is 347-945-5416. 347-945-5416. And if you have a question or your comment, please match 1 through the queue. It puts you in the queue box. Glory to God. Oh, God. We say, you know, even as we continue to think about the relationship with God, without the relationship with God, it's a lot of things that won't happen. But as we continue to walk with Him, and begin to talk with Him, our lives will become more meaningful. We will understand we come into our purpose much faster. Because some of you went around, right, walking right now, I don't know what I'm here to do. Why am I even in this? God, why even make me?
Yeah.
But when you don't know your purpose, you got to go back to the. Listen, if I buy a television, if something goes wrong with it and they can't figure out what's going on, I have to send it back to the manufacturer, because they are the one who made the
TV. Right.
And they would know how to handle. They know what every intricate detail of that TV, because they know what they put in, they know what they took out, they know what works, and they know what don't work. They know what it looks. See, all of this stuff, we, instead of going to everyone else, we got to go back to the Maker, go back to our Creator, go back to the one that knows us before we even knew ourselves. Go look at only us. My God, if we take more time and go to Him, some things, a lot of heartaches would be avoided. See, we can't go try to find our fulfillment in people and things. And instead, just go to God. That's the beginning of all wisdom, is the fear of the Lord. We have to go back to the one who starts this thing. We can't go to everyone else and expect God to always minister through them. But we need to see, when we have a relationship with God, we will take time to go to Him first. And sometimes He may say, well, you know, He may lead you to talk to someone else. But for the most part, that's why we end up having some overworked pastors. We have some overworked friends burdened down so much with everyone else's problems that they own. Because instead of people taking time out and cultivating their relationship with God, talk to the Father, talk, you know, and spend time in the presence of the Lord, they will spend time in front of TV and everything else and doing all this other stuff that was not edifying to them and is not going to give them a solid answer. The Bible tells us that inside of us is the answer. Well, also inside of you is the kingdom. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And His righteousness, and all things should be added unto you. But the kingdom of God is in you. And so if the kingdom of God is in you, then why are you talking to Brother Sister Susie? You know, you're talking to, you know, Brother Jojo, Brother everyone else, but you rather than start inside first before going out to everyone else.
That's right.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. I mean, it's one of those things of when you have that solid relationship with the Father, it is such a relieful, I don't know if that's a word, but it's a relief feeling type feeling. You are settled within yourself, even in your decision making, because you know that you've heard from heaven. And no matter what the results, what comes out of it or what the result is, you know that God has given you the answer to your situation, and you're secure in what you've done. You're secure in the choices that you've made. You feel comfortable in the choices that you've made because they've come from heaven. And you don't have to make excuses, you know, because sometimes when we make decisions, we end up trying to explain it away to people, and so people will understand us. In that relationship with the Father, is you and the Father. You and God are a majority. There can be 20,000 people thinking one thing, and the Lord told you B. Their answer was A, and the Lord told you B. And you are so, you feel so safe in your decision of B because you know it was from God. It doesn't matter that there are 20,000 people against you, because it doesn't matter when it's you and God. None of them can withstand against you when it's you and God. And that's why when the Hebrew boys were thrown in the fiery furnace, it didn't matter how many people were out there cheering on, rallying with the king. They were secure because they knew that they were with the Father. Ooh. Before they put their foot in the flame, before they got thrown in the fire, they had already knew that Jesus was there already. Oh, you know, the king and those saw him in the fire. They just saw the Son of Man, the Son of God in the fire. They just saw it. But the three Hebrew boys knew God was with them before any of that stuff happened. That's why they spoke so boldly about not bowing down to the king. They were not going to budge on their decision. And that's that's how we should be. When God gives us a decree, when he gives us a plan, when he gives us an action, when he tells us to do something, it doesn't matter what anybody says because of our relationship with the Father. Because of those boys' relationship, they were secure. And no matter what, they knew that God was with them and God was for them. And so it didn't matter what anybody said. It didn't matter what anybody did. God was with them. Whether the people saw them or not, they knew that God was with them. Listen, it makes everything in our walk easier, even with your purpose. You know, we all have one common purpose, and I'm not talking about your a ministry office or call, but God has given all of us the ministry of reconciliation to win the lost. He's commissioned all of us to go and lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. It makes what God has called us to do part of our purpose for being here, it makes it so much easier because you're not trying to prove anything. You just obey the Father. And as you obey the Father, he makes the things happen. He makes the things work out. He causes things to orchestrate itself and move and do in different arenas. All you do is be obedient, and you leave the rest up to the Lord. And the Lord will take care of the rest. It takes a load and a pressure off of you as a believer in a relationship. In my relationship with my husband, there are things that I never am concerned. I never have to be concerned with because we understand our role. When you're in a relationship with God, you understand your role as a believer. You understand where you stand. You understand where God stands. You know what you are. You're just a vessel, and you know that he's ultimately the blesser, the healer, the anointer. You know that. In my relationship with my husband, there are certain things that we've set in our household a certain way that I'm just not concerned with it because I know my husband will take care of it. You know, and some things are really, really simple, and then there's some things that are really, really big. One of the simpler things is I'm not a fan of bugs. I just have an issue with bugs. I'm not. And where we live, when we first moved here, I remember it seemed like we saw spiders almost every single day, and I'm not a fan of bugs at all. It's just an issue. And so if my husband is not here, you know, I'm a warrior. I'm a warrior. I'm going to kill it. If I have to spray a whole can of bug spray on one bug, it's going to get rid of him. I'll get rid of him. You know, we might have to buy another can of bug spray, but I'm going to get rid of him some kind of way. But when my husband is present, I am not concerned about a single bug. That's just not my job. That's his job. That's part of what he's going to do with us because that's just what he does. You know, so I could be sitting there and if I see a spider, you know, I just say, you know, go tell your daddy it's a spider. And he could be like 2 feet away from me and my husband could be all the way on the other side of that house. I am not getting up to get that spider with my man back there. Why should I? My man is back there. He's my knight in shining armor. Come get the spider. It's not a concern of mine when my man is here. Now, when my husband is not here, I say, okay, y'all, go get mommy something. Grab me something. Go, you know, and so I'll deal with it. But if my husband is not, if my husband is present with me, that is just one thing I am not concerned about. I am not concerned about the trash when my husband is here. He's here. Why do I have to do that? I don't have to. He's here. And so that's how the Father is. When you have a relationship with the Father, there are things in your life you just aren't concerned about. Okay, Lord, I mean, this is a situation. I thank you for dealing with it because I know you will. You're just not concerned about it. Your heart is at ease. You're settled within yourself because you know God is with you. You know he's there for you. And you know that God is whatever you need him to be, whenever you need him to be it in relationship.
Oh, my God. Preaching my God. Oh, my God. But this is the effect of a relationship with God. See, it takes the fear away. See, God's perfect love. God's love is perfect. So his love, perfect love, casts out fear. See, when you have a relationship with God, I don't have to fear about I don't have to fear about whatever. That's why the scriptures tell us in Hebrews, I think, 13, I would not fear what man would do unto me. I would not fear what man would do unto me. I can boldly say the Lord is my helper. I said that to back with the Lord is my. I can boldly say the Lord is my helper. I would not fear what man can do unto me. Why? Because I know whom I am standing before. I know who stands before. If God stands before me, who is that trying to stand against me? I'm gonna stand on my ground
that
because I
good.
Know because my God is standing in front of me. So everything you shoot aiming at me is my Father is right there. My Lord is right there. I'm protected. I'm covered. That's why you say as you get to know, as you begin to progress in your relationship with God, no matter what comes to you, you can be confident to know this battle is not mine, but it's the Lord's. You will live longer. You will live less stressful lives because you understand who is in charge. Listen, even Job. God considered Job. The enemy just didn't pick up Job and start fighting against him. No, God considered. Have you considered my servant Job? Why? Because God knew he had a connection with Job, and Job would be connected with him, and that no matter what happens, he wasn't going to turn his back on God. And God knows that with you. You going through what you're going through. Why? Because God knew you can handle it. And with a relationship with God, a strong relationship with God, you definitely know, no, God, I may not have the answer right now. I don't know. This thing looks crazy right now, but I trust you. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And without a relationship with God, it's going to be very hard to say this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. How can he say the Lord is my shepherd? Because he know him. I couldn't make a statement like that if I didn't know him. Oh,
amen.
God. I'm going to stop right there. My God. I'm going to stop right there. This is consuming fire. My God. Well, glory to God. Amen. I'm going to back up with the mic. I got that mic of Titus. I'm going to drop it right there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So glory to God. You know, in closing, we thank God for a relationship with him. And we encourage you, if you don't know him, get to know him. And if you know him, you're okay. Now, make sure your relationship with God is ablaze because this life can be cold.
Yeah.
And you need that fire and that flame of life, that relationship with God to keep you on fire for him. Nothing can separate you from his love unless you allow it to. Nothing should separate you from his love. No matter what comes against you, stand in your relationship with God. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. We just want to welcome anyone who may have been called. Anyone who have any questions, the number is 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416. And you can hit message the number one, and you can put you in the question box. Amen. Glory to God. But in the meantime, but we just want to encourage you. And for those who can join us on this week, we will have a marriage enhancement class, marriage enhancement conference starting the 21st through the 23rd this week. And that number to call is 843-619-0410. 843-619-0410 from Eagles Waves International Ministries, your church with and without walls. Amen. That time will be 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, Wednesday through Friday. And just call in, and trust me, we encourage every married couple, call in, listen together, put your little speakers, spend some time together. You know, and listen, a marriage doesn't have to be in trouble to have marriage maintenance.
That's right.
Our marriage is designed to be heaven on earth. And just like we were talking about a relationship, this is a reflection of your walk with God. But we'll say something for next week. But amen. But glory to God.
Amen.
So just come on in. Join us. Amen. Glory to God. You know, don't be a stranger to it. Glory to God. God want to do great things. Let us, you know, come together and fellowship together. Amen. You have anything, Prophet, you want to?
Just a reminder, too, in that relationship with Father, the Lord, just trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto your own understanding. And so sometimes even in our relationship with the Lord, you know, that he'll tell us things and give us instruction and things, and we really don't understand why, and it's okay. Some things you aren't going to understand until we get on the other side. Some things you're not going to see until we get on the other side. So you can't lean on your own personal understanding. Just trust God's word. Trust what he says. Trust what he wants you to do. And get that solid, that strong relationship with the Lord, because he desires to be with you. And when you begin to build that relationship with the Lord, I'm telling you, it, the more you do it, the more you want to. Paul said in, I know the scriptures in Psalms 27, I believe it's 4, when he said, or is it David? David said, one thing that I desire, and that which I will seek after, and that is to dwell in the house of the Lord.
Yes.
And the Lord is on the inside of you. When you start building that relationship, your desire will want to be with the Lord. You want to spend time. I mean, the kids make you mad when you can't get that time like you want. You know, it's like, y'all be quiet. I'm trying to pray. I'm trying to seek the Lord, you know. So you get, you know, because you spiritually, you'll get to a place where you just want to be in his presence. You want to seek his face. You want to hear from heaven. And so, and the scripture shows you can get to that point. You know, it's not supposed to be a hard thing to do. It's supposed to be a joyful thing to do. And the enemy is going to fight you, because that's what he does. He is going to fight you tooth and nail, because he knows that if you start spending time with God, you're going to begin to realize who you are. And that means his kingdom and his world and everything that he's trying to put before you, to not have you in the face of God, it is not going to hinder you anymore. Those things that he tries to throw in your way is not going to hinder you anymore, and you'll realize who you are. And the more you know who you are in him, the worse it makes it for the devil, because he can no longer have any foothold in your life. And so just know that the enemy is not going to make this easy for you to get that strong relationship. He's going to bring up every single thing. But let me tell you, God is able to give you the time you need to be in his face, to be in his presence. You just keep pushing, just keep pressing.
Amen. That's the effect of a relationship. Just like I wanted to highlight with something you said earlier about the Hebrew boys. I just love that story, because I know some people just call it a story, but I see so much in that one story, because I'm not even gonna say story. I don't like the way that sounds. I like that experience, because it's so real that they were facing death by a fiery furnace, and yet an angry king, because they wouldn't bow down. How many times we face situations that we facing the devil that just can't stand us, and he's trying everything he can to break us? I remember a part of the movie from Hurricane. He said, "You can't break me because you ain't make me." And yes, and I can hold strong to that, because yes, I was bathed in the fire, the same with God, you know. But even back to the fiery furnace, the situation is, you know, they were saying when the king, he's brought before the king and said they won't bow down. in this, oh, King, we're not even slow to ask you. We're not even going to hesitate on this. We're not bowing down. Even if our God don't deliver, we ain't going to bow down. You know, you have to know where you stand in your relationship with God to be able to boldly speak how you get. Listen, sin makes cowards of men, but the righteous can speak bold as a lion. And see, when you understand who you are and whose you are and who's speaking through you, you can boldly speak to every situation that comes your way. Yes, if the weapon may form, but guess what? It will not prosper. The gun may even go off, but it won't prosper. The words may have been said, but it won't prosper. The dirty deed may have been done, but it won't prosper. Oh, don't get me started. Don't get me started, but I'm telling you, God is just that good. Because no matter what comes your way, He has made you. Listen, you are made to overcome. You are made to be an overcomer. He never made you with defeat in His mind. More than a conqueror. When He saw you. So we have to remember. That's why we have to remember who we're fighting with, who's standing on our side. But my God, I'm trying to save something for next week, but Lord, I'm telling you what, there's something about that relationship with God just never quits. Amen. It keeps you going strong when everything else wants to go weak. So amen. Well, we're going to stop there, because I tell you, I don't need a reason to keep on preaching. I'm just going to stop.
Amen.
My God. Glory to God. But we thank God for each and every one of you tonight for listening. Amen. We pray that something that you will say that you received tonight from the Lord. And we truly had a great time. Amen. As always. And I love working with my partner, my wife, my best friend. Oh, man. She just a package deal that I just can't. I won big time with this one here. Lord have mercy, the mother of my children, and all that good stuff. So I thank God for her and my partner in ministry. I just truly love to work together with her. It makes ministering the word so much easier together with God, what He was able to do. So thank you for each and every one of your time tonight. Amen. You have any closing things you would like to say? Amen. Well, praise God. We thank God for you. Amen. And never hesitate. Look us up on Facebook. You find either Apostle Marcus Dupree or Selena Dupree, Prophet Selena Dupree. And then you also can find us Eagles Wings International Ministries, your church within without walls. Amen. And once again, you find us here. Amen. So on Sunday night. So definitely don't hesitate. And we thank EMG Production Entertainment for allowing us to come on and do what we do for God, for His best. So we thank God for each and every one of you once again. And we bless God. We thank God for His preparation, because we know what's coming up next, what things that God is doing. Well, know this. Let me say this to you. Know that God is doing some new things in your life, no matter where you are right now. Be encouraged to know wherever you are right now is not the end of the story. There's much more coming forth. Even though where you are may be right now, it may seem a little dark. You may not know which way things are going to come, what's going to go. But trust in the Lord through your relationship with God. Trust in Him, and He will not let you down. Put your trust truly in the Lord. Even sometimes you may have to put the blindfold on and walk like a blind man. But even blind faith can pull you through. So glory to God. God bless you. Have a good night. Amen.
There's just one thing I really want to know. On my word,
trust you, Lord.
Against all odds, will you believe what I have said?
I trust you, Lord.
What seems impossible,
I trust you, Lord.
Will you believe?
I trust you, Lord.
Every promise I made to you, see. But will you trust that I can help you? And I'll never turn away from mine. Will you trust me, child? Thank you.
He did it.